ESM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
It's Paul Santos welcoming you in here to the Tim Meisberg Show, filling in for Tim. Tim is out of town, so call to the bullpen. That's right. And Paul Santos will be filling in here today. And we've had a fun discussion so far of different issues that are happening here around New Bedford. And a couple of them had to do with political discourse. That's right. The political discourse is just kind of a little ugly lately. You know, we're supposed to take the temperature down, right? Remember that? Going to take the temperature down. And then like a week later, we're right back where we started again, calling each other names and stuff like that. Hey, I disagree with you. I disagree with you, right? Doesn't mean I'm smarter than you and you're an idiot. And, you know, we're going to throw names back and forth at each other. I just don't like that kind of thing, right? So as a matter of fact, I've got a little audio clip here, and I think it sounds okay to play it like this. And what it is it's from H.W. Brands. He's an author and a historian. And he was talking about, in this clip, how we can do better in terms of political discourse. And I agree with what he says here. I really do. Listen to what he says.
Assume good faith and sincerity in people you fundamentally disagree with politically. There is a temptation that I think has become more pronounced over the last 10 or 15 years, probably with the emergence of social media, for many people to treat politics as a way of feeling good about themselves by vilifying the people they disagree with. That is a recipe for political engagement of a sort, but it's not a recipe for actually solving problems, because the problems become more attractive than the solutions. Acknowledge that you do not have all the answers, and that the essence of democracy is to come up with the best common ground you can find. We've all got to live in this country. We've all got to live on this planet. So let's make the best deal we can. You should expect to live in a state of at least mild dissatisfaction, because you're not going to get everything you want. When there's general agreement, we've solved those problems. Now, those problems were a big issue in times past. Should women vote? Well, in 1900, this was an issue that split the country pretty much down the middle. But nobody's saying we ought to take the vote away from women. So if you have a democracy, then you probably ought to be stuck until you can get past that. But the only way to get past it is to assume that the people you disagree with have as much right to their opinions as you have to yours, and then make the best of that.
All right, so there you have it. Right there, a great comment there, or a comment that I agree with, from H.W. Brands. He's an author and a historian, and I think it's some good food for thought there, you know? You all get into debates. And I certainly like the debate, being an attorney and so forth. But having a debate and then having it go south real quickly, I don't think benefits anybody. And be open. Be open to the idea that maybe that other person gives you something to think about that you didn't think of before, rather than just digging into your side and fighting to the death that your side is right. Forget that. Maybe you'll learn something from the other side. What do you think about that? 508-996-0500. And I did mention before, too, this was in the news. Because of the Supreme Court decision, which said that it was okay to break up homeless encampments that are on public property, very liberal Governor Gavin Newsom of California is ordering the homeless encampments to be taken down and the people there told to leave. Now, I got to tell you, I don't necessarily have any problem with this. I think that you really have to try to find a place for the people to go, whether it's a homeless shelter. But the thing that I find ironic is that Gavin Newsom is like the last person I would thought that would go ahead and enforce this, right? Usually somebody like a Gavin Newsom is somebody that's super lenient and kind of soft on this kind of thing. But I think it's just because things have gotten so bad that he's come around to the idea that, hey, you just can't set up a shop right there on the side of the road or right there on public property. So even Gavin Newsom is saying, hey, you know what? You got to go. And if we can find a place, if we can set up homeless shelters or whatever idea that you might have, whether it comes from a liberal or conservative, you know, I always say a good idea is a good idea. And an idea that I disagree with or I think is a bad idea is a bad idea. I don't care who thought of it. What difference does it make who thought of it, right? So what do you think about that? Should we do that here in New Bedford? Because there are homeless encampments around. There was that controversial idea that maybe something would be set up in the north end under a tent or something like that. That was shot down. People disagreed with that. I mean, it was only there to be open for discussion. I think Councilor Burgos is the one who wanted to open it for discussion. It wasn't anything set in stone. It was really just an idea that maybe they would debate it a little bit. All right, let's go to the phones here. Line one, it's Gary. Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Paul Santos?
Yes, it is.
Boy, I woke up and I had a horrible nightmare last night. I turned the radio on and my God, I had another nightmare.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. I'm on my way, actually, for knee surgery as we speak.
Oh, that's right. I saw you limping around there.
Yeah, arthroscopic knee surgery this morning, Paul. So I know that you'll be praying for me.
Now,
and hoping that I don't miss any work next Monday, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, how come the phone here says Gary on it?
Because guess what? He did it. He's giving me a run to the surgery center call, and here he is. Without any further ado, Gary Langevin.
Gary, what's going on, Gary?
Paul, you sound fantastic over the air.
You're on the air there, brother.
I'm on the air. You sound great. I'm so proud of you. I can't be more proud.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoy this kind of thing. And for the people that are listening, right, people probably know that I have a TV show, and it's called the Paul Santos Live Show. And that gentleman right there, Gary Langevin, he is our music director. He's like the director of music, and he's the band, and we call it the PSL band, along with Arthur DeMello. Crazy Casey, the other gentleman you just heard, he comes on, does some comedy. We have Allison Dine who does comedy. We had Chops Turner as part of the show for a long time. And if you want to see it, it's on this Sunday morning, 10:30 on ABC6. So check it out. It's a lot of fun. It's a little bit different than this. We talk about serious issues here, but that's more of a fun show. But boy, do we have a lot of laughs on that or what?
Yeah, and you know what? Did I make the cut this week, Paul?
No, you didn't, as a matter of fact.
I figured I've been scuttle-butted again, huh?
Well, you made it the last two in a row, and, you know, I got it down to like 35 minutes, right? And I'm like, I got to get this thing under 30. I'm like, all right, Casey was on a couple of weeks. I'm going to cut him out, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good because, well, you know, I'm usually only, you know, the only person that's going to miss me is Monsignor Cunha after you sign off, because he and I got to be very good friends at that 11 o'clock hour.
All right. Well, hey, good luck on your knee surgery, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
All right. Take care. Thank you for calling. All right. Let's go to line two and say hello to Clifford. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Well, not too bad. What I'm calling about today is basically the folks out there. Last night I was watching Netflix, and I watched Hillbilly Elegy.
Okay.
The supposedly the life story of Trump's choice of vice president.
Okay.
I don't think it's a very flattening film to be on.
Portrayal?
No.
Okay.
Not when you go into political life, especially vice president of the United States, at least through my opinion of it. I guess it went up to when he first went into Congress. I think he wrote it back in 2016.
So what was the substance of the Netflix special, and what were they saying? What was their conclusion about the book?
Well, I haven't got any rating. I just happened to, I threw on Netflix to see what was on, and I sort of said, oh, I said, that's a book the vice presidential candidate wrote. And, I mean, it was a tough life that he went through, and he seemed to make it out of it. And like I said, it stopped when he became a congressman, whatever political ranking he got into.
Did you see the whole thing?
Pardon me?
Did you see the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, what did you think of it?
But I don't know. I mean, it was almost so bizarre that I thought it wasn't a true story. That's mm-hmm. how strange it was.
It's kind of funny how he called Trump Hitler a while back before came around.
I was standing there. I said, he had a lot of bad. Boy. They said, an American Hitler. I'm like, yikes. And then, yet Trump chose him. I'm like, right. Oh, what's going on?
Well, he changed his mind. He came around.
Yeah. Well, the public's got to see it and then go from there. I don't know, brother. All right, buddy.
All right, thank you for the call. All right. Paul Sands is in for Tim Weisberg here on 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM. And you heard that call before from my good friend Jim Casey and Gary Langevin. Yes, we do a TV show. It's called the Paul Santos Live Show. And you can check it out Sunday morning, 10:30 on ABC 6. Totally different than this show. You know what it's like? It's like the old Tonight Show, like the old Johnny Carson show, something like David Letterman. I actually come on and do a monologue. And of course, just like Johnny Carson, we use bombing. The people that are on the show with me, they just love it when I'm dying up there. But sometimes I have a few hits here and there, too. You know, my writing is getting a little bit better. I have a writing team of one, me. I don't have like 10 people writing my stuff. So it's, you know, interesting to try to write comedy and write a monologue. But we do, and we joke around. We make it local. But that band that Gary Langevin has, he is an unbelievable keyboardist. We have a saxophone player by the name of Arthur DeMello. He is phenomenal. We even had Johnny J, my good friend, play the trumpet the other day. Allison Dian, my sidekick and director of comedy. We have a new director of comedy coming in, Joanna Raposa. Chops Turner was part of the show for a long time. Another band, Immuter. And we highlight the talented, the interesting, and the entertaining from the area. And we always have at least one musical guest. We always have one comedian. And we have one person that we just do a straight interview. As a matter of fact, a few weeks back, we had that police officer that we had on this show on WBSM, who was a police officer who became an actor. So it's always somebody fascinating like that. We also had a kid who is in the sequel to Sex and the City, and he's like a 12-year-old, 13-year-old actor from New Bedford. So we always find somebody interesting to have as our interview guest. And if you haven't seen the show, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning, ABC 6, the Paul Santos Live Show. Check it out if you can. All right, we'll be back with more of the Tim Weisberg in just a moment. Hope you're having a great morning. It's a beautiful sunny morning, 67 degrees, high of 82 a little bit later today here along the South Coast. Santos filling in for Tim Weisberg here at 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM. If you'd like to get in on the discussion, give us a call at 508-996-0500. As you know, we have news at the bottom of the hour, news at the top of the hour. Some interesting news items have come down the pike here. One of them we talked about before, and that has to do with the homeless encampments in California. Very liberal Governor Gavin Newsom has decided to move the homeless encampments off of public property, ask them to leave, saying that you can't stay there. It is in violation of the law. There's no question about that. But the thing is, you would think that Newsom would be the last guy to want to do that because he's very liberal. I think the conservatives would probably agree with him on this one. So there's an area where maybe someone left of center and right of center would agree. But the Supreme Court said you could do it. Gavin Newsom wants to do it. What about around New Bedford? Should we do that here? Should we force people who are having homeless encampments? Should we make them move? And if we do make them move, where do they go? We have to have some place for them to go, whether it's a homeless shelter or something like that, to try to help these folks. So I think you can do both. I think you can move the people because it's unsanitary. It's not good to have people in these homeless encampments. I 100% agree that you might want to move them, but move them where? That's the question. So give us a call, 508-996-0500. I also mentioned before there was an article that I saw online, and of course, anytime you see something online, it's kind of like, should you believe it? Should you not believe it? My wife really liked this one because my wife really likes ice cream, and I like it too. But it says here, did you know that people who eat ice cream every week double the chance of living past the age of 90? Can that possibly be true? What's the source of that? I got to look up the source. She just sent me the clip, but I don't have the source. So that means if I eat ice cream once a week, I'm going to live past 90? So I then put out the question, where did you eat ice cream in the area growing up? Now, with us, it was my mom and dad, my brother, and Vavor and Vavu. And the big night out was to get in the car. No air conditioning, of course. You had to roll down the windows so that we could actually get wind coming into the car. And we would drive down the Salvador's in South Dartmouth. That's where we would go. Every once in a while, we go to Gulf Hill, like one of the callers said earlier. Yeah, we go to Gulf Hill sometimes. And the other one that was mentioned, I think, was Freight's. Yeah, I mentioned that one because every once in a while, we would go up to Freight's up in the north end. That's not there anymore either. So Gulf Hill's not there. Salvador's is there, but it's closed. The big milk can is still there, but it's not open. And Freight's, I don't believe they sell ice cream there anymore. I could be wrong, but there are a lot of places that we would go to, and a lot of them aren't there anymore. So where did you go to get ice cream? And what about this thing where you get to live to 90 years old, or you have a better chance of living to 90 years old if you have ice cream once a week? I am not buying it. I don't think that's the case at all. I'm very skeptical of that article, so maybe it's time to do some research. Had some good economic news overnight. Inflation is down, which is good. Economic growth is up, so we actually have some good news. So before we start ranting and raving on who gets credit and who gets the blame and all that kind of stuff, why don't we just enjoy good economic news? Because anytime there's good economic news, regardless of who gets the credit or who gets the blame when things are going bad or who gets the credit when things are going good, why can't we just like say, okay, good economic news, so let's be happy about that. And then we had another story which came out of New Bedford, pretty horrifying story, and it had to do with that child that was left on the, I don't know, it was in the South End, and the child was left there, and the question is, was the child alive at the time, which supposedly they don't think so. They don't think the child was alive when the child was left there. So, I mean, I think that is certainly a situation where, you know, we have to look at that and make a determination as to whether or not the, let me just see what I'm doing over here. Okay. Make a determination as to what exactly the crime was, because what happened was a 22-year-old woman appeared in court in connection to an infant found dead at a New Bedford park in December, according to District Attorney Tom Quinn's office. Daniela Mitchell Escobar Mejia is facing one charge of improper disposal of a body, which is a misdemeanor in New Bedford District Court. According to DNA testing, Escobar Mejia is the baby's mother, officials said. District Attorney Tom Quinn said the woman was released on her personal recognizance and is ordered to cooperate with the Department of Children and Families. Unfortunately, the infant boy's decomposing body was located on December 9th, 2023, down at Fort Tabor Park, wrapped in a blanket. The woman who found the baby was with her preteen niece, and when she picked up the blanket, she detected a foul smell and saw maggots very sadly and determined that the child had been left there. Now, it doesn't mean that there was a murder. It doesn't mean that there was foul play, but why would you do that? If something happened to the child and the child passed away, why would you just leave the child down there unless something happened that wasn't right? So that's the question. I'm sure the police and the authorities are investigating that to try to find out what exactly happened. All right, we got time for a quick phone call. Good morning, you're on WBSM.
Good morning, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, now I got off track. The ice cream, the yes. Other one that we used to go to was Gray's homemade ice cream in Little Compton Dynamite.
Oh, no kidding. Still, I don't remember that one.
It's still there. You should bring your wife there. It's awesome.
Where is it exactly?
Little Compton. It's called Gray's, and they make it right homemade, real, real homemade.
Oh, Little Compton. Yes. Yes, I think I have gone there. It's like you go down the road, and it's on the left. I know where that is. Yeah, I know exactly where that is. Yeah, we've been there before. I haven't been there in a while, but we've definitely been there before. I remember it now. Yes, Little Compton, Rhode Island. Wow. Yeah, that's a little drive, but that's a good one.
Yeah, but Paul, the thing is, with ice cream, I don't know if I agree with that. Maybe once a week.
Yeah, well,
there's a lot of sugar and cream in it, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, this thing here says once a week. Once a week, you lift the 90, and if you eat it every day, you can get to 100. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. I think it's true what you said, that it's a lot of sugar and it's probably not good for you. But boy, does it taste good on a warm summer night, huh?
Oh, yeah. Every day. I could eat the whole thing. Anyway, the whole, when you buy it and you put it in the freezer. Anyway, two quick points while we hang up. There was a baby found on Sawyer Street, too. Someone put it under the porch a while back.
Oh, that's terrible, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one. And then I really like that clip. You should leave it there for the people on BSM because they get real nasty.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I saw that on C-SPAN, and I thought, boy, did this guy so eloquently sum up my feelings about it that you just got to step back and have respect for somebody that has a difference of opinion. I think it's just so easy to say, I'm right and the other one's wrong, which is bad enough. But then when you say, I'm right and I'm smart and the other guy's stupid, that's when it really starts to deteriorate.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. You should leave it there. Let them read it. Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. Thank you. All right. We're coming up on news time. Now, let me see. I'm looking over into the newsroom. And I see Phil over there. And let's see. Is it in here? Do I just hit that button? All right. All right. I'm going to hit this button. All right. That's what I got to do. This is what happens. You know, I fill in occasionally and you think, wow, I should know how to do everything. And then, I don't know, a few weeks goes by and I start to forget again. I don't know what happens. It just seems to happen. But let's go to Phil Devitt now for the news at the bottom of the hour.
The Obamas throw their support behind Kamala Harris, a popular airline making a big change about where you sit. And two superheroes could break records at the box office.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Barack and Michelle Obama are endorsing Kamala Harris in the Democratic race for president. The former president and first lady released a video showing Vice President Harris speaking on the phone with both of them.
I can't have this phone call without saying to my girl Kamala, I am proud of you. This is going to be historic.
Obama can be heard saying, quote, Michelle and I couldn't be prouder to endorse you and to do everything we can to get you through this election and into the Oval Office. In a joint statement announcing the endorsement, the Obamas said, quote, there's no doubt in our mind that Kamala Harris has exactly what it takes to win this election and deliver for the American people. The House is approving a resolution condemning Harris for what Republican lawmakers say is her mishandling of the southern border. It passed with support from six Democrats. The Manhattan DA urging a judge not to overturn Donald Trump's hush money conviction. Jacqueline Carl reports.
In a filing made public Thursday, state prosecutors claim the Supreme Court's July 1st decision on presidential immunity for official acts made as president have no bearing on Trump's conviction on charges he falsified business records in New York. Trump's lawyers argue that certain pieces of evidence should not have been introduced during the hush money trial under the Supreme Court's new ruling. Trump was originally set to be sentenced on July 11th, but the judge delayed the sentencing until at least September 18th to consider Trump's arguments. Trump has denied any wrongdoing. Jacqueline Carl, NBC News Radio, New York.
French officials say the National Train Service has been targeted by several malicious acts ahead of the Paris Olympics. Tony Waterman with a story.
According to the rail operator, deliberate fires were started to damage facilities on three high-speed rail lines, paralyzing travel between Paris and the west, north, and east of the country. A fourth attack on the south line was foiled. The attacks have left thousands of travelers stranded at train stations. Officials say repairs are already underway, but could last the entire weekend, potentially impacting Olympic athletes. France's sports minister says they are working on alternative transport for any affected delegations. At this point, there is no evidence that the attack is related to the games. Tony Waterman, Paris.
Southwest Airlines getting rid of its open seating system. For the first time in its history, the low-fare carrier will move to assigned seating, allowing it to charge a premium for some seats on its planes. According to Southwest, when customers switch to one of their competitors, the number one reason they cite is Southwest's open seating policy. And Marvel Studios' Deadpool and Wolverine is expected to break the record for best opening weekend by an R-rated film. The third film of the Deadpool franchise projected to make between $160 and $170 million in its first weekend in theaters.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Red Sox back home at Fenway to play the New York Yankees. First of three games tonight at 7:10. And the Summer Olympics are here today, the opening ceremony from Paris.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
What a gorgeous to wrap up this work week. Mostly clear skies or clear skies this morning. Temperature in the mid-60s. Low humidity, sunny 81 this afternoon. Mostly clear, low 60s overnight. Tomorrow, kicking off the weekend with beautiful weather. Sunny skies, temperature in the low 80s. A little bit of a change in the forecast for Sunday. Threat for showers later on in the day. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci Del Carmen on New Bedford News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
My favorite songs by the brothers Tavares from New Bedford, Massachusetts and Providence, Rhode Island. That was a great event a little while back when they named the street Tavares Brothers Way. Had an opportunity to go down there and watch the festivities, and perhaps the most enjoyable thing that I was fortunate enough to do was I approached Chubby Tavares, who came up from Florida to attend, and he has been a little bit more frail in his older age. He's in his early 80s now. He retired, had that last concert at the Zeitarian Theater about a year back, which was really, really great. And I managed to catch him, and I just went up to them and I said, "Hey, Chubby, what does this mean to you?" And he goes, "Oh, it just means everything to me." And I asked him about the possibility of not making it up here for it. And he said, "Oh, there's no way I was going to miss this. I told my girlfriend, I am going up there. I am not missing this. There's no way I'm missing this." And that little clip is on New Bedford Guide. So if you go, you want to see it, you go to New Bedford Guide, scroll down, and you will see that quick interview. And I was able to chat with Tiny Tavares, and I was asking him about his connection to New Bedford. He's like, "Hey, I was born right here, St. Luke's Hospital. What are you talking about?" And then after that, they went to Providence and had more festivities in Providence. But a lot of people grew up with Tavares. I know there's a lot of people that saw them when they were first starting out. When it was Chubby and the Turnpikes, and they played out of the Ramada Inn. And one of the times I was on, people were calling in and telling me when they saw them and how they saw them before they hit it big. And, of course, they went on to become national stars, traveling all around the world. And, of course, getting the Grammy for More Than a Woman on the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. So that was a lot of fun going down there and watching them name Griffin Court, I believe it was, is now going to be Tavares Brothers Way. What a great honor for those guys. Well, anyway, it's Paul Santos filling in here for Tim Weisberg at 1420 WBSM, 99.5 FM. This is New Bedford's News Talk Station. A few things on the docket here today. We're talking about political discourse. I like the fact that that lady said that I should leave the clip here of the author talking about how we need to do better on political discourse. I got to tell you, I love listening to debates. I'm an attorney. Right. So I hear an argument back and forth. I enjoy the exchange of an argument. But I got to tell you, as soon as people start making fun of the other side and stuff like that, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I shut it off. I'm sorry to say that. I shut it off. I don't listen to it. And the cable news stuff, it's not even really the news. Those cable shows, that's not the news. That's just people yelling at each other and putting each other down and calling each other names and saying that somebody that disagrees with me is stupid. I'm not listening to that. That's just not the kind of exchange I want to see. So this little clip that I played, maybe I'll play it again in the 8 o'clock hour by H.W. Brands, how we need to have better political discourse, have respect for the other side, you know? I saw that there was an argument in Providence. This was in the news. There was an argument in Providence. They called it a family feud. And they got into such a big argument that they pulled out bricks. They pulled out knives. One person threw a chair at the other. And this is a family. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what the heck were they arguing about? I hope it wasn't politics. And by the way, it wasn't even Thanksgiving. Imagine that. Don't do that. Have respect for somebody's opinion that's different from yours. Ah, yeah, they had some great stuff back there in the 70s. We were so proud of them. I was in high school at the time when they hit it really big. And I can remember, we were so proud of them. We would walk around high school, and then after we get out, we put the radio on, and they would be playing their music, and you'd see them on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And we were so proud that they represented our city. And they would mention, hey, you're from New Bedford, Massachusetts. In fact, one time Dick Clark on ABC was interviewing Tavares, and he mentioned New Bedford. He was like, hey, you guys going back to New Bedford after you're done with the tour? And they talked about the city, and we were all like, oh, wow, they're mentioning New Bedford. This is great, you know? So we were definitely proud of them, and it was unfortunate. You know, as an attorney, I got to know Ralph Tavares very well. Some people know that Ralph left the band and became a court officer just about 35 years ago. And he would say things like, hey, you know what? I just got tired of the traveling. I got tired of going here. I got tired of going there. And what would happen is, you know, he would come and say, hey, you know what? It was great. It was fun. It was amazing. But, you know, I have a wife. I have kids. I need to do something different. So he became a court officer, did that for 30 years. And then after he retired, he got back with the band and started traveling again just for the fun of it, almost like as a part-time thing. And he had such a great time with it. It's too bad we lost him. He was 80 years old, passed kind of suddenly as a heart attack, with a heart attack a few years ago. And he is, of course, sorely missed. So, again, just mentioning that a few weeks back, Tavares Brothers Way. What a great honor for the brothers Tavares. Back to line one. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. It's nice to hear your voice.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to take it a little bit off track. There's going to be the Police Association fundraising tomorrow night. And I know Ken Pittman, and it's his band that'll be there. So Tim said where to buy the tickets, but I'm not sure. Is it actually at the Dartmouth Police Station?
I'm not sure. Maybe you should Google that or try to look that up, because I'm not familiar with that. And actually, I go to that every year, but I can't go to it this year because I have a family event going on. But I got to tell you, Ken Pittman, when he does that Bon Jovi stuff, I mean, he's second to none. He's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. I'm really excited about going to it.
Yeah. But
yeah, I was trying to figure out where he said to go. I didn't know if he said directly at the station or not. But, yes. And then as far as ice cream goes?
Yes.
I know two people that are in their 90s, and I know two people that have passed in their 90s, and they ate ice cream all week long.
Okay. So there's a possible piece of evidence that supports this whole ice cream thing, right? I hope it's right, because I'm going to go get some ice cream tonight.
Well, I just started eating gelato. I've never had it before in my life, and I'm like so addicted to it. So I'm hoping it's just a phase. But I buy the like the little pint size things. I've been devouring two of those a week, and then sorbet. I never had sorbet my whole life, and wow. Now I've been on the sorbet kick. Yeah, so
you know, the summertime too, when it's you know beautiful weather like we have. I mean, July and August, the best months of the year, and to just go out and get some ice cream on a warm summer night is nothing like it.
Yeah, no, that's so true. Just got to watch the waist, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can't do it too much.
No, the gelato is real fattening. but yeah, so that's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right, let's go to David. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, Paul. She can get them tickets at the Dartmouth Police Station on Tucker Road.
Okay, I figured that. I figured because it's put on by them, at least call them up or go by there or something like that. That's a great event.
Yeah, I think she can get them right at the. I think she can get them right at the gate too. I think right. So.
Okay.
I won two the other day on when they were on the he was on the radio with.
Oh wow! You got two freebies, McCarthy. Huh? Couple of complimentaries, like VIP. All right. Well, thank you for clearing that up. All right. Sometimes an issue comes up and somebody in our audience can clarify. So for the previous caller, just go by the Dartmouth Police Station. I figured you could call down there and ask them because they're sponsoring the event. So give them a call or go by there. It's a great event. Unfortunately, I can't go this year. I've been many times before. because I got a family event. In fact, my birthday. We're celebrating my birthday. So yeah, it's going to be in my house. So I have to attend this. But yes, it's a great event. And Ken Pittman, who I fill in for occasionally on Saturday morning, he does that whole Bon Jovi thing. And when he does Living on a Prayer, I mean, the place just goes bananas. I mean, this guy knows how to sing and knows how to do the whole Bon Jovi presentation. I listen to him and I agree with him sometimes. I don't agree with him a lot, but as far as his music is second to none, especially when he's doing all that Bon Jovi stuff. Well, I wanted to mention something else here while we're proceeding through the morning here. How about artificial intelligence? Does anybody have any worries about artificial intelligence? And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there's a little bit of a local angle here. Did you see, if you go to WBSM.com, you'll see that there was a robot that actually cut the ribbon on New Bedford's research and robotics lab. That's right. Many have held the city's gold scissors, like they say, but this is the first time in the city's long and storied history that a robot actually cut the ribbon yesterday morning to celebrate the opening of New Bedford Research and Robotics on Purchase Street. So New Bedford Research and Robotics claims to be a key contributor to New Bedford's innovation economy with access to cutting-edge technology beneficial for startups and other partnerships. The program is up and running, according to Mayor John Mitchell, who said that it's already having an impact throughout the city. But here's the thing, right? I'm looking at this robot, and all as I can think of is Boston Robotics. You ever see Boston Robotics? And they have these robots that look like dogs, and they can run so fast, and they can do a lot of great things. But of course, like every piece of technology, there's always somebody evil that's going to try to do something with these robotic robots that look like animals. So can you imagine a government that's evil, somebody across the other side of the world invading another country or doing something terrible and using the robotics where they don't even have to engage or have any casualties? You just send the robots in. Now, that would be great if you had a hostage situation and the police were trying to enter a building in a dangerous situation, or maybe the firemen can use robots to try to rescue people. Maybe the robot can go right through a fire or something like that. So this is great technological advance. But isn't it worrisome, too? Like if it falls in the hands of somebody that's not particularly positive, that maybe is evil. And I'm not saying New Bedford Robotics. I'm just talking about robotics in general. I think it's great that we have a New Bedford Robotics down here. But, you know, you always have to be careful because there are going to be people that are going to find bad use every time we have a technological advance. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But to have a robot actually do the ribbon cutting, wasn't that incredible? I thought that was something I'd never seen that before. Usually they get like a politician, he's going to come down, and he's going to cut the ribbon and blah, blah, blah. No, we got a robot. We got a robot that can do that now. All right, Chubby Tavares there doing the lead on More Than a Woman, which got the great Tavares group the Grammy back in, I believe, 1978. So it's just great hearing those guys. I mean, this kind of came into my mind because a few weeks back they had that ceremony where they named Griffin Court. Now it's going to be known as Tavares Brothers Way. And as you come down Route 18, you're going to be able to see the side street. And the way the side streets are now off of Route 18, there's a big sign that hangs over Route 18. So as you're coming down Route 18, you're going to see Tavares Brothers Way. That's going to be a reminder of the Tavares Brothers' accomplishments and the way that they never forgot where they came from. I had a chance to interview Ralph one time. I interviewed Chubby. In fact, if you go to YouTube, you'll be able to see a great interview. One of my favorite interviews. I've interviewed so many people. I've had the good fortune to do so because I really enjoy interviewing people. If you go to YouTube and you type in Ralph Tavares, Paul Santos interview, we did a half-hour interview about 15 years ago. What a great interview it was. It even brought the Grammy down. I actually got to hold on to the Grammy. And I think if you go to Facebook, you might be able to track down my interview with Chubby Tavares. Very, very affable people, and always enjoy going back and take a trip down memory lane and talk a little bit about the accomplishments of their music career. So it's really, really terrific that they named that street Tavares Brothers Way. I want to talk a little bit about the Business Improvement District only because, you know, that proposal in downtown New Bedford ended up not meeting state legal requirements, according to city officials. The findings were announced at Monday's City Council Committee on Finance, where the BID detractors, many of whom have come to be loosely organized under the name No BID New Bedford, had been rallying on the steps outside City Hall, and they had been working on determining whether the requirements under the Mass General Law were met, and found the exclusions that were originally proposed cannot be excluded, including all properties within the street boundaries, stated a letter from Acting Assessor Pamela Davis. It was read and accepted into the record on Monday. It was found that the requirements would not be met. Well, that's an interesting question I have. And again, without getting too far into the weeds about the business improvement district, the thing that I found interesting, kind of like Gavin Newsom, the very liberal governor of California, he's out there because the Supreme Court said he could do it. He's out there in California saying, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go through all the homeless encampments and break them all down. We're going to go to all the homeless encampments all throughout the biggest state in the United States, California, and force people to move off the public property because they are in violation of the law by being on that public property and setting up shop as a homeless encampment. So out of everybody that's going to do that, you would think that it might be, say, the governor of Texas or one of the more conservative governors from down south that would want to do this. But no, Gavin Newsom, he's come around to agree with the more conservative people that, hey, we can't have homeless encampments. These things are dangerous. These things are not sanitary. We're going to move you out of here and hopefully find a spot, whether it's, you know, in a homeless shelter or some place where these folks can go until a determination can be made as to what can be done. So that's that. That's out in California. What do you think about that? Should we do that in New Bedford? Should we do that in Massachusetts? That's a question that I'd like to ask you, number one. Number two, the thing about the business improvement district, I found it odd that people who say that they are libertarians and say that they are low-tax Republicans, we're overtaxed. There's a lot of waste in government. The government's too big. But yet they're supporting the business improvement district. I found that odd. It seemed to me inconsistent with the general rule that they think government wastes your money. And it's like, well, the business improvement district, there'd be a fee, and then they would be able to fix up the sidewalks and make the areas outside of these businesses better so that it would benefit the business. Wait a minute, time out. The city's supposed to be doing that anyway. The city's supposed to be making the sidewalks nice and the brick nice. The brick walkways that you see there, the cobblestones, the trees that are on the sidewalk, all that stuff's supposed to be done already. So businesses already pay a higher percentage in taxes than residents do, and I think that should be the case. But if you're operating a business, your taxes are already higher than residential properties to start with, and now you're going to throw another fee on top of that? I can understand why some of the smaller businesses were against it. I mean, if you're a bigger business and you want to chip something in, maybe, but I didn't see that that was a good idea. Now, I can be persuaded otherwise, but I just found it odd that people who are anti-big government, anti-taxes, and I don't think anybody likes taxes, but they have a second layer put on these businesses.